This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When did the Vikings play? Saturday?
Saturday night.
No.
Afternoon.
No. Afternoon, 3 o'clock.
I meant to look at the attendance. I forgot to.
Well,
I
could do they were... There was a sellout because they sell out all their tickets, but how many actually showed up?
I don't know. You could have got a ticket for around $3.
$3-4, yeah. Yep. They were on the, And guess what? That would have been too much.
Right.
You would have overpaid.
Top 10 weather day in history, and there were people in that stadium.
And I guess, by all reports, they might have had 40, high 40s in there, and most of them didn't leave. But I was very happy.
You weren't there, were you?
No, I went to the Twins thing.
Yeah.
And then I stopped and got a little takeout at Murray's, right?
Oh, yeah.
At 8:45 and was thrilled. Murray's was pretty much full. That Lions place next to them
Lions
was
Pub. Yeah.
Full. People wandering up and down the streets there, hitting the bars, going to the restaurants.
That's so amazing.
I didn't see how what's the great fish joint up the street?
Stella's isn't uptown.
No, not Stella.
Ocean Air
had the good crowd. It was nice to see people.
Are you attributing that to the Vikings?
Yeah, there was a lot of Broncos jerseys, and you know how perverted do you have to be to fly in from Denver to see the Broncos play an exhibition game?
Pretty perverted.
Yes.
But we do have a lot of Bronco fans in this town,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, well, there are. Well, yeah. the Broncos are one of those places where most towns have a Bronco bar.
Yeah.
You know, you got a Bills bar and a Packers bar and a Bronco bar. And a lot of towns have a Viking bar, too.
So I have
Boston's
to say,
Viking bar is 730 Tavern.
What? Oh, that's right.
There's a Viking bar. Yeah.
Austin, Texas?
Boston.
Boston, okay.
Yeah, it's called 730 Tavern.
So I'm in favor, by the way, you were talking about the reunion, the 91 reunion. I am 100% on board with getting these guys in town and liquoring them up and putting them on the broadcast because the storytelling is fantastic.
Really?
Oh, it was great. Oh.
Really?
Well, because Saturday's game, because Gladdy was obviously part of the festivities, so Molitor doing the game with Chris Atterbury.
Great on it.
It was so fun.
Molitor was really good on play-by-play.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he was, you know, he's a smart, he was always a great quote, you know.
Yeah.
You know why? Because he thought about his answer.
Well, who else did that?
Gene Mock.
Right.
Sometimes you had to wait 30 seconds.
Right. You wondered,
and we had to be trained
right.
to shut up.
Yep.
And wait.
Yep.
And it took me, I think, a while to get, because I got a tendency to get impatient.
I know.
You do.
And but after a while, ask Gene a question.
You're going to get an answer.
Go out, you know, smoke a cigarette, come back in, and you're going to get a hell of an answer
right.
when you get back. You're going to get the great answer. And but Molly was always that way, too. He thought, now he didn't wait a long time, but I remember spring training of... When Puck went blind, basically spring training in '96,
yeah.
and I was leaving like a week with a week to go, 10 days to go, and I asked him. I said, "So you competed against Puck. You were at All-Star games with Puck. But what have you learned being around him for a month?
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a teammate, mm-hmm. what did you not know about him?"
Mm-hmm.
And he thought for a minute, and you know, 10 seconds, and said. He said how loquacious he is, he said. And I'm not talking about quality. I'm talking about quantity. He said, you know, he said that a lot of it makes no sense, mm-hmm. but there's an endless supply of it. He said, you know,
something
like
Kelly.
That. Kelly was, you know, to interview, you mean?
Yeah. I probably interviewed 10 times, but
yeah,
I don't remember.
It was, you know, it depend upon if it was a baseball, you know, you're not going to get the quips.
Right.
You know, you got to admit that, and then you're going to get the baseball explanation. And then if Bracken was in the room or somebody like that that was kind of a goofball, then you were in trouble because he did not. You know,
you didn't suffer fools gladly.
No. I mean, I've always told the story about I'm on a road trip with Glavin. I'm still at the St. Paul paper. I'm Bracken. I'm still at the St. Paul paper. Bracken's covering it for Minneapolis, and it's 87, and they're having trouble on the road. You know, they can't win on the road. And he contacts Harvey Mizell, the hypnotist, mm-hmm. to see if maybe he gets a couple quotes from Harvey about how hypnotism might help them for the road trip. And he tells me,
who is this, Kelly or Bracken?
Bracken tells me he's going to ask Kelly. That's going to be a story for tomorrow. Should the Twins have a hypnotist?
Right.
And I said,
and you're not going to get the answer you want.
I said very profanely, yeah. Don't do it.
Right.
Please don't do it. Right. We were in Milwaukee, which had the open clubhouse, so if TK was going to throw a tantrum, it would always be in Milwaukee. And it was the start of a road trip, too.
Oh.
Game one. And he said, I'm going to do it. I said, you bleeping bleeper bleeper. And he asked him the question, and Kelly just reamed him out and basically was grumpy for the next 4 days because just seeing Dennis drove him crazy because Dennis was always, instead of, you know, this guy sure pitches good. He was looking for that odd angle, and the wrong guys asked the wrong questions. You could be in trouble.
He could have got away with it. PJ, would PJ have gone along with that?
PJ would have loved that. But the other thing about Kelly was, if there was a crowd around there and you had some real kind of question that might be deemed to be require a controversial answer, you'd wait and for everybody to leave and maybe walk back in there after it was over, so and get it. So,
well, to prove your point, that is when it was the hot stove banquet where mm-hmm. all these baseballers, nerds, I was the MC.
Yes,
and what they wanted was they wanted Bert there just delivering a dry. Now here's Joe Mauer. Now here's TK. Yeah. Now here's Gardy. But I'm giving them the, all right, everybody. I'm giving them my my MC gig.
Right.
And that's when TK tugged on my jacket pocket and said, hey, Rook, you're trying too hard. Know your limitations. He's basically saying, just because I was messing around.
Yeah, right.
And they wanted, here's number 42, Jackie Robinson.
Yeah.
And that's when he said, hey, Rook, I know your limitation. You're trying too hard. It was just, and he wasn't being mean. He was trying to help me out, saying, you don't have to do that crap.
Well, I also think he was giving you the needle.
Oh, yeah, he was. We get along great. Yeah. But he's like, you don't need to do this sushire crap.
Out of that, too, do you know who's an amazing storyteller? Rick Aguilera.
Oh, man.
I did hear him
on
the radio.
He was so great on the air.
I'm very angry at Rick Aguilera.
Why?
Oh, I know why.
Because.
Here it is.
He has not gained an ounce since he pitched in 1991. In fact, the most handsome guy in Twins history, wouldn't you say? Right. Him and Scott Erickson was close. Yeah. He'd almost give you urges.
Okay.
And but the thing is, 30 years later, he's the same guy, except he's got a little gray, which just makes him look
even more.
He's
more Clooney now.
He is honest to God, has not gained a pound.
What's he doing?
Living off his money, I think. He's out in California.
That's what Molitor said. He said, my God, did you just step off a movie set? That's what Molitor said to him. Yeah.
Oh, God, he looked. I saw him at the funeral for TK Jr. and on Friday morning, and I went over and said, you're disgusting.
Yeah.
you look better than you did 30 years ago, you know. So he was my. my wife reminded me, Rick, she said, I said, Rick Aguilar, blah, blah. I was telling him how good he looked. And she said, yeah, he was always handsome. He's the guy with the Red Sox, right? So this is, when did they trade him? 93 or 94, and then they traded him. Then he just changed clubhouses, right?
Yeah.
They traded him to the Red Sox.
Mets 85 to 89, Twins 89 to 95, Red Sox 95.
Okay. Yeah, they traded him in 95, and then they re-signed him. But So they traded him, and he changed clubhouses, right?
Yeah.
And then he he went to change clubhouses, and he saved the game for the Red Sox that night. And I had a really good column written about Aguilera and, you know, blah, because he talked to us before the game. And then he comes in and saves the game. So I said, well, God, I got to get – so I run down there, and he's giving us such good stuff. I basically write this column on Deadline. He's talking about his daughter coming out, you know, his 3 or 4 year old daughter coming out of the family room and seeing him in a different uniform and say, hey, well, what's the deal? How come you got red socks on, right? How come you're wearing red socks? So I crank this thing out, blah, 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 send it in. I'm really proud of it because it's really good. And I redid it and wrote it on Deadline, and it's fantastic, except he said, and then I bent down and gave her a kiss. Mm-hmm. And I'm hacking it, and then says, blah, blah, blah. And then I bent down and gave her red socks and, you know, and then wrote it and then sent it in, you know, sent it in. And it was right on Deadline. And I read through it, but I didn't, you know, I knew what I knew I said kiss. The next morning I get the paper, 6:30. I look at it and the house is filled with screaming MFs just because nobody caught it. It was just, it got in the paper, and I am shouting.
You these, had a, had a tirade.
Yeah. These profanities. It was at the, as if the Taliban had broken into the house, you know. And my wife says, what is wrong with you? And I said, bah! And I showed it to her, and she started laughing her ass off. She thought it was the funniest thing of all time. And she said, and she brought that up today, and I said, that's still not funny. And she said, you really overreacted to that. And I said, no, I didn't, because, you know, it is in the archives of you know,
of you.
25 years later, it's in the archives, people saying, what is this idiot? He bent over and gave her red socks? What the hell? You know, and it was like the second graph, too.
At some point, I reached the point where
I let it go. I'm better than
took
I was.
A while.
Well, this was when there's no second chance. You know, there's no internet. There's no.
See, I'm going to side with your wife.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's funny.
Red Sox.
It's a funny gap.
Here are the Red Sox.
Yes.
According to
and how did I know she was going to ask for them? You know, you know.
According to his Wikipedia page, the move was made official when Red Sox were in Minneapolis playing the Twins, and after walking 20 feet down to the visitor's dressing room, Aggie was called out to convert a save opportunity's very first appearance, striking out former teammate Kirby Puckett to nail down a 5-4 win.
Wow.
He would later state that the trade brought him to Boston was the lowest point of his career. Because he was almost 10-5, mm-hmm. where he could veto power over any trade.
You know why he re-signed with the Twins? Because they were going to make him a starter. They promised to make him a starter.
Oh.
And he wanted to be a starter so he could play golf. You know, if you're a reliever,
you gotta
and
be
you're
ready
pitching,
every day. Yeah.
You know, if you pitch on Sunday and you're a starter, you can play golf Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, right? And then on Thursday, you're going to throw, and you know they might use you in an emergency, so you can't. And then Friday, you can't. And then he wanted to play golf.
Yeah.
And plus, he also thought he was a starter originally with the Mets way back when. He also thought he could do it, and they were so hard up. They were, you know, 96. They were going to take what they could get. And that lasted, I bet he didn't make more than 5 or 6 starts.
Speaking of that, so he also mentioned something else about the trade coming here. And I don't, was this, I could tell it must have bugged him because he said, well, yeah, you know, me and Tapp, we were just the throw-ins in the David West trade.
Yeah,
was so that the Tapp, perception of the trade?
It was a Tappany trade.
Was that the perception,
No, I think Aggie was, you know, they thought Aggie was good, and they thought Tappany was more of a throw-in than David West was. But okay. David West was supposed to be the phenom, the big lefty.
Okay.
Who didn't turn out to be much. But, but Tapp was, you know, not considered to be that, hot of a prospect. And you know that at Tapp in 91 pitched 244 innings?
Wow.
The next year he pitched 240.
Holy cow.
Yeah, Morris pitched 246 in that year, too.
You'll never see it again.
No. I was having a hard time with that idea of the starters going 4 2/3. Manager Kelly, I was out there with him for 100 minutes the other morning, Wednesday morning, and it's interesting what sticks in his head. Mm-hmm. He was I offered him the proposal that, in my opinion, the Blue Jays were the best team that they beat of the four teams that they beat to win the World Series. And he started talking about how they won game three. They were 1-1. The only game they lost at home was the game two of
Guzman.
Guzman. And he was telling me how he loved Guzman and he stuck it to him. But he said, yeah, he said, Scott Erickson hung in there for four innings. He had a bad elbow. And then we brought in David West. And he starts going on, David West. And he says, and Joe Carter got up. And he hit the longest ball you ever saw. It was up there in those seats in the Sky Dome that you can't even see. He said, up there, like in the darkness.
Beyond
where you couldn't see the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah, right up there. He said, but it was foul. It went foul. And he said, I think all the Blue Jays saw that, what he did to a David West fastball, and they swung out of their shoes. The next, the next seven guys swung out of their shoes trying to hit it way up there. I mean, what sticks in his head is just, it's always interesting, to say the least. Having a real tough time with TK Jr., though, obviously.
I bet.
That's just unbelievable.
Did you see any of the six-man playoff at the Wyndham?
No, I missed it.
That was pretty good.
It ended pretty quick, right?
Five holes. No, I think they only played the second.
Kisner was the only one made a birdie, right?
Yeah. It was. But I, as much as I know golf, I don't understand the points in the FedEx and the playoffs. Was that a playoff
event? No. It was the last regular weekly event before the playoffs start. And the points on those kind of events are based on what kind of a field you get. So in other words, if you're a major or world golf classic, it's pretty well set, that you get such and such a points. But the rest of it is like if the John Deere doesn't have anybody playing in it, you get a lot less points than you get.
Well, Kisner got 500 points for the win.
Yeah, which is, I think, probably low. But I don't know how that field looks.
You know what the ray of hope is? The ray of hope is, for the playoff, what did they call it?
Sudden death.
Yeah, I saw that. They didn't.
How many people go to Eastlake? 75?
No, 30.
30.
30
And there's
to
no
Eastlake.
Cut. There's no cut.
No, but they eliminated one of the tournaments. They cut from 125 to 100 to 75, right?
Yeah.
I mean, now they just go 175, 30. They got rid of one of those
They go now to Liberty National.
Yes.
Where you can see New York across the water.
And you know where that tournament's go? That tournament is, or is there, and the other one in Boston then?
Yeah.
One of them is leaving and going to Memphis.
Really?
Yeah, because they keep kissing FedEx's butt. FedEx playoffs wants to have FedEx sponsorship in their hometown of Memphis.
Right.
So next year, I think, did you look at next year's schedule?
No.
They now have a tie-in with the European Tour.
Mm-hmm.
And next year, an official PGA event is the Scottish Open as well as the British Open.
Really?
Which I think could put Hollis in even more trouble trying to get players because now that the Scottish Open is, you will have these guys having spent 2 weeks over there, the Scottish Open and the British Open, and then you got to get him to come back here and play. You know, he's going to have to, be on the on his best salesmanship to get a decent field. Although he came out of it this year because he, you know, they had that Saturday carnage where everybody hit it in the water and had a good finish. So, but it's
because the wind switched on him going up 18.
Oh yeah, it was, and there was some wind early, and I was out there early in the day, and the wind wasn't blowing at all. But it they always said about that course, it'd be a lot harder if the wind blew, and it rarely blew because at that time of year we don't usually get a lot of wind. But anyway,
so that was during the smoke, wasn't it? The smoke in the air.
Was it starting then?
Yeah, I think so.
Starting. I don't think it was terrible right then. It was. It got worse like on Monday and Tuesday. Yeah. I think. I mean, I think it was a Tuesday morning where I thought my neighbor's house was burning down.
Well, 2 weeks ago Saturday was the worst.
It was a visual. Yeah. You couldn't. I remember going over 52.
Well, that was. They were. That was the tournament here, right? I think
it was the road by Cormac McCarthy. That's what it looked like.
Yeah. Yeah. It was that bad. Wow. Yeah.
Thanks for the update, by the way. Speaking of roads.
I had a hard time explaining myself last week on what roads were eligible for repair.
Right.
And then I found one that's eligible for repair.
The consultant. Can I drive
it looked like it had been bombed.
Yes, it does.
Craters in it.
It did. It looked like... Baghdad after we went through there. So, yeah, that road does.
Really quick, you know who we always bring up? The Bobby Bonilla anniversary.
Yes.
Bobby Bonilla gets it.
Today?
I think it's over with now. I think he finally, it's either over with or this is the last year. I saw a headline on Deadspin. But you know who else is entering that category?
Who?
Chris Davis of the Baltimore
Orioles. Oh, yeah. How much they still owe him?
So, he announced his retirement.
Yes.
Last week, was it? Last week he announced his retirement. He's still on the hook for $23 million next year.
The O's are still on the hook for
2022. However, they're also going to pay him until the year of 2037 because he has deferred payments.
From what they didn't pay him in the past?
Yeah.
He's been a bust, hasn't he?
Ever since they gave him the contract,
He hit a bunch of home runs about 3-4 years in a row, and he kind of had that left-handed swing where he could hit the nuclear baseball into the small ballpark in left center. And then all of a sudden, he never got to see a pitcher a third time because they came in throwing 96 and he could not hit a fastball.
So 23 to 25, he's going to make 9. 26 to 32, he's going to make 3.5. And 2033 to 2037, he's going to make 1.5 mil.
That's a nice way to retire.
Yes, it is.
Landed on his feet.
He did.
And I got another Orioles stat for you today. I looked it up because I'd heard it. The Orioles this season have been swept 15 series.
Wow.
One was a two-gamer.
Yep.
Two were four-gamers, and 12 of them, they've been swept in 12 three-game series.
Wow.
And 2 4-gamers. I think the Twins at their stinkiest never got swept in 15 series. It's amazing.
The Twins are red hot, baby. What are you talking about?
The Red Sox and the Rays have both swept them 3 times.
Wow.
Anyway,
haven't we won 4 series in a row?
We have won 3 series, all against first place teams.
That's right.
The Twins are a juggernaut compared to Baltimore.
Oh, God,
The Twins have won 52 times. Baltimore's won 30.
They're 40 games under 500, and it's August 16th.
Right.
You know who's making a push, though? The Cubs, after they gave away everybody, they've now lost 10 in a row. And the Nats, who gave away everybody, have lost 7 in a row.
Unfortunately, though, I'm just looking right now. The O's don't even have the worst record in baseball. Your Arizona Diamondbacks do.
Yeah, but the Diamondbacks had that little stretch where they lost 24 out of 25.
That'll
do that to you.
Hell, the Twins look good compared to some of these stiffs. Who do they got tonight? The Clevelands?
The Guardians are in town, aren't they?
The Guardians?
Guardians are in town. That's right. Boy, that's...
I'm not going to get used to that. I'm sorry.
I know. The G-men. You know, they always had the... You know, they were never the Indians in the headlines in the Cleveland papers because they'd save characters. They'd save two characters and be tribe. They're always the tribe.
Yep.
Can't tell. I don't know. What's your short for the Guardians.
The guards.
The G's.
The G's. Yeah, the guards, I guess, maybe. The guard. Yeah. The
Did I tell you, by the way, I was in Arizona in March. They want a new stadium already.
Oh, yeah. They're raising holy hell.
Yeah. I couldn't believe
What's
it.
Wrong with the one they got?
Nothing. There's nothing. Absolutely nothing wrong with it.
It's a 20-year run.
I was
suites.
Listening to some.
They don't like their suites, which, by the way, the suite business is going completely to hell. Yes. It's disappearing.
Their point was they wanted it out of downtown, I think is the way that they were phrasing it. Why, I have no idea.
Is that where they slide the field in and out of the building?
You're thinking of the football stadium.
I'm thinking of the football
stadium. Yeah, in a little drawer.
Glendale, the Cardinals wanted to be downtown because they got out in Glendale and the traffic was too bad. And the hockey team claimed that being out in Glendale, people couldn't get to the game.
Yeah, the baseball stadium is retractable, but they never open it because it costs way too much.
To air condition it. 118 has a tendency to. Oof. You know who's feeling better and better about selling the old condo, Joe?
You.
Considering, I saw that the Twins hitting coach had to go down to Florida because so many family members had gotten COVID. He was visiting them, and then he got COVID. Mm-hmm. So he has now not able to come back. So she's rolling pretty good down there, I guess.
Well, we played it during GL, Patrick, but in Australia now, there's a new mask mandate.
I'm going to.
You're going to precede
it.
This?
I want Pat's view.
Okay, well, now you're going to have to give me a second so I can find
I contend
here.
What you're about to hear is a bit.
This is the Australian, what's the official
let me,
title?
Let me Prime tell Minister you before you get, I've never seen a place more paranoid about sunscreen. Let me tell you that. So this
He's
might
the
be the same mentality.
Okay, bit or not? This is an authority. We verified that.
The premier.
Yeah.
There will be no removal of masks to consume alcohol outdoors. So you will no longer be able to remove your mask to drink a cocktail at a pop-up beer garden on a footpath as part of a pub crawl.
So what do?
You got to keep her on.
Bit or no bit? I say it's a bit.
It's not a bit.
Well, he must mean you can take a sip and then put the mask back on.
No.
Says, well, how are you going to drink it?
Well, that's my point. That's why it's a bit.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, they have shut down the pubs. So I think people, if it's true, it just means people over the weekend went nuts got together.
Pop a beer gun
on the footpath.
They are, you know what, though? They are smart alecks. They're from my 3 weeks down there. They're more cynical than we are. So it could be a bit.
The guy could be
pulling their leg.
My history with Australia on both Crocodile Dundee movies, they do have attitude. You're right. Yes.
In my experience
with interacting with them, yes, from Crocodile Dundee.
I'd like to go there, but the flight's too long.
Yeah.
I'm not going.
You're not even flying anymore.
I stopped in Hawaii both times.
It is long.
It is long, especially when you're flying down there and 10 hours, and you got the middle section there.
Yeah.
But there's a woman who's already gotten in there before you and is basically camped out.
She got the whole damn thing ready to go.
You got
to give her the Gary Selberg.
had to wiggle in next to her and, could you remove your table and stuff here? She basically brought a picnic basket.
Why are you camping here?
Yeah. It looked like she was out for the, she was all ready to roll there, man. So how about those St. Paul Saints, man? Toby Gardner, I think he's going to be a big league manager.
You
he's seven
so?
Or eight games over .500 Woo! With that collection of mutts. You know, the rejects.
Are they still selling out those Saints games?
They've been doing okay. Yeah. They've been doing okay. I'll tell you who's got to be depressed is the boys over at Target Field when they get announced 21,000 for their reunion.
Is that all they had?
Wow. Yeah. And when the guys walked in, there might have been 15 in the building.
Wow.
And I walked him in from left field.
Well, two of the finest weather days were Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, Saturday night was
just unbelievable.
God said, let there be baseball on that night, and nobody was there. It's the best crowd of the weekend was Friday because they shot off fireworks, probably.
Well, and I know I'm a little biased, but do you think, I mean, this last weekend was one of the biggest town ball weekends in the entire summer. Did that have some effect on it, do you think?
I don't think so. Okay. I really don't. I think what might hurt them is the crowd that is a joined for life with the 91 team.
Yeah.
You know, the 55-year-olds, they don't want to go downtown. You know, they're part of the downtown.
Yeah, but
crowd.
You're reporting now an active scene on Saturday.
It was pretty good. Yeah, it was good. I saw some young couples too that were over by the orchestra hall and over there when I was leaving, and they seemed feeling safe enough. So I don't know.
So are Twins crowds held down by the perception of what downtown's like, or just because they're a lousy ball club?
A, lousy ball club. B, baseball in general is hurting.
Yep.
And C, I think the whole downtown thing. And D, and I get emails on this every time I write about them or comments, is paying tribute to Black Lives Matter and George Floyd and other issues on the that is agitating another part of their. Now I don't know if these are people that buy tickets anyway.
I don't know.
I think that's a part of it though. I do.
Yeah, that I know that they have irritated some people with that. So anyway.
I don't think people want politics in sports.
No.
That's where you go to get away from.
Right.
But the teams get a lot of pressure on them, man.
I know.
A lot of pressure on them.
But we had said this, you know, way back when, that the sports is committing suicide to a certain degree, I think. Not just with the alignment of social justice issues, but it's a lot of other things. You know, the cost to go to take your family to a game is ridiculous.
$12 for a beer, yeah.
Yeah, it's just a lot of those things.
Yeah, and I don't know, did last year just teach us that there's other stuff to do?
Yes.
You know, I mean, there's a whole...
You can't buy a boat.
they're also...
You can't find a boat.
Because everybody's... Right. As soon as they make one, it's sold.
Can't find outdoor equipment.
Can't find a lake home anymore, right?
No.
Yeah.
I was at a campground over the weekend. It was packed, baby. Down in near Winona.
What is wrong with you?
Yeah.
No, it wasn't my decision. It was my family's decision. Trust me. What is wrong with you?
Don't you wish we could talk how we're...
Do you have TV when you're camping?
There is a television there, but I was watching the Twins on my phone.
Okay. Well,
through our But yeah,
there's nothing.
Did you sing Kumbaya?
There's nothing in this whole world that appeals to me less. Even in my prime days when I could move around a little bit.
Things Royce doesn't like.
Yes.
Camping.
Why?
Yeah.
Why go outside where the bugs are?
I see you at the ring.
It's time
to start a fire.
You go inside to get away from the bugs. Now you're spending the whole weekend saying, bugs, here we are. Come and get us. You can have us. You can come on.
But, Pat, little s'mores with the kids and a campfire. S'more.
That's another thing I don't like.
Put
s'mores.
That down in like s'mores.
Doesn't like
I hate s'mores.
S'mores.
I hate s'mores.
Yeah. Why do you melt it? It's a marshmallow. Just eat the damn thing.
But even before, you've already jumped that there's a fire started. Tell him the DA.
Let us go gather some wood so we can start a fire.
We need some boards.
Yes, I need some boards.
Will you please gather some?
Uh-huh.
Oh, that would just be you two trying to start a fire.
I've never been a camper myself.
I don't
never
either.
Been one.
I was in
putting up the
was
tent.
In Boy Scouts.
Putting up the tent.
I can't
Where are
remember.
My stakes?
I remember going to Lake Chetek at a was a Boy Scout or some damn thing or a Cub Scout, whatever the hell it was.
Yeah.
10 years old.
Yeah.
I was there about 2 days and said, this is some happy BS, I want to tell you. I'm coming home, turning in my scarf, and saying, never again.
Never again.
What do I want to do? You know? Now, I wish I'd paid a little more attention to not tying, but
This is the knock.
We should start a series of how-to videos with Patrick Roycey. Yes. Here's how you put up a tent.
I'm pretty good at
that. I'm pretty good at building doghouses.
Yeah. Boxes.
Don't make them out of plywood. That's the moral of that story. Oh. Unless you want a portable one. Oh. There's a portable one.
You had the dog that took its house with him wherever he went.
The dog is, why is this house chasing me?
I don't know which one of the lads, they weren't very old, said to me, I can't remember what that dog's name was. What the hell was that dog's name? It was kind of a mutt. It was a fairly good size one. He said, you know, Billy or whatever it was. Hey, Dad, Billy's taking the doghouse down the street. I said, well, we tried, damn it. Yeah.
Was it not secure to the ground?
A, it wasn't secure, but B, the wood was not heavy enough.
A nail.
The only wood I had was plywood, so I made it out of it. You got to have thick
thicker wood.
Yes. You got to make it a little harder to carry than the dog. When you make it out of plywood...
Oh, it's mobile.
You're trusting the dog's good faith. You're putting good faith in the dog, right. And they can't be trusted.
No. Dog doesn't
care. They're going to go where they want to. They don't care how much effort you put into building the dog box. You know,
options. They want options.
You know, the best part, too, about being at a rural campground in the middle of nowhere close to the Wisconsin border is a lot of folks like to set off their own fireworks at about 11 o'clock at night.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
God, we had someone about midnight on. There's a kid around the block. I met him at the backyard party, and somebody says, "This is the fireworks guy." You know, this kid about 13, and it sounded like a machine gun all of a sudden about midnight. You know, just going off left and right.
Yeah,
a lot of fireworks there. So the Faribault Lakers were done before the weekend.
We lost Thursday night in New Prague to be eliminated from postseason play.
Would have you had you won, you would have been so then you would have not have been able to go to the campground.
Well, we went Friday night. I left here, picked them up. We went down Friday night and then stayed the night, then spent most of the day Saturday.
But
and then we came home.
If the Lakers had not choked against New Prague,
right.
We would have left Saturday morning to come back
and play the game.
What was the tick situation?
You know, we did a little hiking at the park?
Oh, Whitewater?
Thank you. We went to Whitewater National State Park. And that's all I was worried about was the boys, you know, getting ticks all over themselves. Mm-hmm. But
I did do a tick check.
I had to do a tick check when we got home. Mm-hmm.
Whitewater is, you'll remember years ago on Saturday morning sports talk, my brother Steve had gone camping with my uncle Jeff and the gang, and they went down to Whitewater Park. And that's when my uncle Jeff, Steve woke up with a wet pillow. Uncle Jeff thought he had outside of the tent, he had to relieve himself in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
And he thought he had the zipper all opened up.
That would cause a disruption in family relations. You pissed on my pillow.
Oh my God. And, that's dreadful.
Uncle Jeff probably wasn't standing upright. He's probably, like, you know, he's walking. He's probably holding on to the tent. And there's nothing there to hang on to.
Wasn't Steve the poor?
Paul's the poor. Paul would have been there, though.
Paul would have been peeing with
him. He was on the high side of the tent.
He would have been peeing with
Jeff. Another reason I'm never going camping.
No.
Especially with Uncle
Jeff. Another reason.
Uncle Jeff. Never go camping
never
with Uncle
camping
Jeff.
With Uncle Jeff.
Is Uncle Jeff still with us?
Uncle Jeff is with us. Yeah,
That's almost that story of what's the moral of that story?
Never go
camping with Uncle Jeff.
Uncle Jeff is living in California.
Don't mess with Terry when he's been drinking.
Oh, God.
But that's where they were, Whitewater.
Norm MacDonald, Howard Stern Show.
And the earth was uneven.
Norm MacDonald is one of the five funniest guys.
And you have to listen to there's a couple of versions of the same joke, but you have to play the one when he's on with Stern because it's filled with profanity and it's fantastic.
Right.
Don't
mess with Uncle Terry.
Where's the place they all worked? At the
The hatchery.
The hatchery.
They're at the hatchery.
The hatchery. And then she finally, what's the moral of the story? She finally has to call and that kid's
Jimmy.
Okay, Jimmy. tells this long, engaged
what's
story.
What's amazing about Uncle Terry got Stern to shut up for 7 minutes while he told the joke.
Yeah,
that had to drive Stern crazy, right? To
sit there. God.
God, I love that guy. His short-lived weekly show, too, that he had on was just absolutely filled with the most sarcastic stuff of all time. And, of course, the one and done at the ESPYs.
I'm trying to find my clip.
One and done at the ESPYs. One and done at the ESPYs.
Since Charles Woodson's here. Hey, Charles.
I think his worst joke is the Anthony Mason joke.
I forget that one.
The Anthony Mason, the NBA player, had been picked up for having sexual relations with the 14. And he's talking about a six-year-old and said, something like that. She's even too young for Anthony Mason, he says. And the crowd goes,
no.
I'm trying to find
You know what
it.
He is? He's bold.
Yes, because he doesn't care.
He doesn't care.
No, he does not care. But he got, I think he got run off the news on Saturday.
And there's Charles Woodson. How about that? And what a season he had. Great, Manny. He became the first defensive player to win the Heisman Trophy. And congratulations, Charles. That is something that no one can ever take away from you. Unless you kill your wife in a waiter, in which case.
And right then, ESPN decided he's never coming back.
They pan to the crowd, and you see Ken Griffey Jr. just going, what did he just say?
Oh my God, that was pretty good.
We now make the OJ jokes and we remember back and but is there ever been a more shocking event in our lifetimes that this guy that they all revered and good old OJ from the all of the goofy movie, Nordberg,
exactly.
Running
through the airports.
Completely psychotic, you know.
I thought I read something about him where he was either interviewed or somebody had asked him. He said, yeah, I still can't sleep because I'm thinking the killer's out there somewhere. I wonder if he actually believes it, you know what I mean?
I don't know. Yeah, well, he might, who knows?
Nuts. That's all.
He knows. None of these involved this kind of heinous act. But Sid repeated some stories so often that he believed him. He could have traded over the hill Vern Mickelson for Bill Russell and the rights to Bill Russell, and they would have won another eight. I mean, he believed that stuff. So that's even though everybody said no. Red Auerbach, no, not it.
I still can't believe he's not with us.
Yeah,
it's so bizarre.
I said, the only 100-year-old who ever died that surprised us.
Yes.
Yeah. So,
speaking of 100-year-olds, I got to go find Marjorie when we're done here.
Yeah, they better.
They could have. Are you going to get Marjorie? You're not going to the fair, are you?
Yeah, we're broadcasting.
How often?
Every day except Wednesday.
You know that there's going to be 50,000 people there. And half of them are going to have the Delta variant, don't you?
Thanks, Pat.
Thanks, Pat. And that should end this Monday Night Sports Talk.
I'm sure I was told
by a friend of ours at the station today that she had a friend who came back from Sturgis on Sunday and was dead Wednesday last week from the COVID.
How old was the person?
61.
Wow.
Well, it's a good thing.
How you doing, Joe?
Previously healthy?
Yeah, apparently. Yeah.
You know you're going to be there,
The husband got it, too.
Yeah.
But I don't believe I'll be coming to the fair.
No, you'll be there. You'll be there on Friday and then Monday.
You're filling in Wednesday.
I'll do one day, maybe.
Yeah.
Just so I can get a gizmo. Go up and get a Gizmo sandwich, that's all. I hope the Gizmo will be back.
Gizmo will be back, I'm sure.
But we're once again, we're going to trust our neighbors that if they haven't been vaccinated, they're going to wear a mask.
I don't think they would.
Well, and if you're in Australia, you have to wear the mask.
I look at that fair crowd. I've always looked at that fair crowd and said, these people can be trusted.
Yeah.
You know,
they're telling it like it is. This,
especially the guys with the 18-inch corn dogs walking around
and
a bag of cookies.
Oh. You know, that's what you
say. Big box of cookies.
See you at the fair.
See you at the fair, baby. Yeah. See you at the fair.
See you at the fair.
All right.
All right.
When does the fair start?
A week from Thursday, baby.
That's always the end of the year, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, hell yes.
Yeah, it means. Yeah. Summer, you know what? This was a nice, slowly moving summer, and then you get to the end of July, and it's over.
Yeah.
It's over.
Yep.
Yeah.
So this is Patrick Ricey for the Canopy Group. As you set out to explore Minnesota this fall, think about this. There are 234 cities in Minnesota with populations over 2,500. The Canopy Group has clients in all but 7 of those. Why is this fact important? Because the Canopy Group's experience in all of these Minnesota cities gives them a unique edge in getting you the best home and auto insurance coverage at the best price. Remember, the Canopy Group offers 15 insurance companies for a reason to match your specific situation, including zip code, with the possible best insurance company for you. This is done for you every year because your specific situation may change. It is also true that the insurance company's appetites might change as well. This experience is working throughout Minnesota. It provides thousands of Canopy Group clients a peace of mind, knowing the Canopy Group is working for them. Please visit the Canopy Group .com today.
Hey, GLers, it's Reavers here once again for Mr. Money Talk, Josh Arnold. And as you've been hearing over the course of the last couple of months, Josh asks you one simple question, and that's always, do you know what you own? You see, Josh's clients, they always know what they own. And Josh has found that most people that he meets with every single day, well, they don't. They absolutely have no idea. Josh has also seen retirement portfolios that have a big percentage in bonds. And there are real instances of people paying more in commissions and fees than they can possibly make on the rate of return that those bonds currently yield. So Josh begs of you, know what you own. And you'll hear from Mr. Money Talk later today here in Garage Logic to give you a specialized report on the goings-on in the market today. Trust is often overused, and it's even harder to find. Please, you can take it from me that you can trust Josh. So give him a call today for that free 48-minute financial consultation, and you do so by calling 952-925-5608. Once again, that's 952-925-5608 for Mr. Money Talk, Josh Arnold.
EcoFun has e-bikes in stock. And why is that important? Because every other bike retailer is out of stock and will not be getting new e-bikes until December or January. You can't even get one for Christmas from them. The weather is warming up, so if you are in the market for an e-bike, scooter, or ATV, go to EcoFun right now. EcoFun Motorsports in Forest Lake. Talk with Tim Bloom, the owner of EcoFun Motorsports in Forest Lake. Tim and his family will help you select the e-bike that is right for you, and they will deliver it to your front door in the metro area. Right now, EcoFun has Bentelli e-bikes and Yamaha Motor Assist bikes in stock. EcoFun also carries the full line of Yamaha scooters, motorcycles, and a wide variety of Yamaha ATVs, including ATVs for kids. Check out EcoFun Motorsports in Forest Lake and online at EcoFunMotorsports.com and tell Tim that that old bicycler Patrick Ricey sent you.
Apollo Heating and Air.
If you need to replace, Apollo is the place. Schedule your appointment with Apollo today, and you can have a new air conditioner for as low as $45 a month. Think you need a new home comfort system? No problem. You could have one from Apollo for as low as $84 a month. Let the professionals at Apollo keep your home cool and comfortable all season long. Visit callapollo.com to schedule your appointment today.
Call Apollo.